Hello, everyone. Happy Saturday night. I am Robert DeFelice. I am your host for the evening. This is your Fightful.com AEW Saturday Collision post show. I'm not normally here, but I'm joined by somebody who is here every Saturday night here on Fightful, and someone who I haven't actually worked with on this channel, but I'm very excited to tonight, Iridian Fierro, my rest friend. How are you?
I'm doing so fantastic, Robert, and thank you so much for stepping up. You know, Rick and Krista couldn't be here with us tonight, but we got the Fightful Collision Cowboy himself, Robert DeFelice, to join us. So, Robert, super excited to work with you. Let's party it up tonight.
Let's party it up. It was a crazy show. There were Hall of Famers. There were hot, flexible wives. Miro's over here beating up people. But we want your input. We want your Humper Chats and your Super Chats. So get that all in there at humperchats.com. And yeah, guys, we're just going to be rocking it tonight. As always, we appreciate your support over at Fightful.com and Fightful Select, the best $5 in the industry for all the latest breaking news. But Iridian, before we get into it, what's your overall thoughts on tonight?
Oh man, what a great show. I thought it was just so entertaining. The beginning and the end ended just the same, a hot mess. You know, I live for the drama, Robert. How did you like tonight's show?
Collision is my favorite show, bar none. It's changed a little bit since a certain Chicago native is no longer on the show, but they've since gotten Adam Copeland, who's my favorite wrestler of all time. So, you know, I love Saturday nights on Collision. And this show was top to bottom pretty stacked. But you mentioned it, the way you started with a great, basically a cluster muck, you might say, because we get Adam Copeland kicking off the show. He wants to address Christian Cage. He wants to address Uncle Jay. Uncle Jay's telling him to, you know, GFY. Christian Cage is just, he's really turned into quite the mean father figure in AEW, but he comes out with security. He says the security is there for Adam because, you know, he doesn't want to end Adam's AEW run before it begins. And of course, Christian says he wants a fair fight tonight with Danielson. BCC is banned from ringside. That brings out Danielson. He says, I'm glad you want that because I got Nick Wayne and Luchasaurus banned from ringside. And then it takes a turn here because out comes Ricky Starks, who's like, I don't care about none of you, and you're all taking up my time on my show. I'm Mr. Collision. And then that brings out FTR, who say, we didn't care about a rematch. We're going to earn it because we're the best in the world. And then, of course, everybody fights, and security gets beaten up. Poor security, Iridian. And that kind of sets the tone for tonight. But what are you thinking when you hear BCC banned, Nick Wayne, Luchasaurus banned? And we also got a little bit of rated FTR action. What did you think?
Well, first of all, how rude of Christian to go ahead and ban BCC. The Blackpool Combat Club, I absolutely love. I think we cannot get enough of them weekly. So to not have them on Collision, very sad, because I am probably the biggest fan of the Blackpool Combat Club. I'm the unofficial member. I don't know if you know this, Robert, but unofficial member of the Blackpool Combat Club is me. I could be the CJ Perry in the Blackpool Combat Club. And for them just to not be existent on tonight, I'm like, okay, well, it's fine, I guess. But, you know, also Nick Wayne and Luchasaurus were not allowed to come out. So I'm like, all right, seems like a fair fight. I'm here for it. It was very unexpected to have Ricky come out with Big Bill. And I'm like, okay, what are we doing? Are we going to have like a fatal four-way tag team match? What's happening? And FTR came out. Security. There was just so much. So much. And I was here for the drama.
You know, the drama is great. And I will say, you could be the member of the BCC if the B stood for bedazzled. I've seen the work you do. It's tremendous. But as far as a fair fight, I think we leave that to Claudio Wheeler and Danielson. But we got a great super chat here from Darren Walker that says, welcome, Robert, and always great to see the lovely Iridian. She is fantastic. I could not agree more.
So kind. Thank you, Darren. Appreciate you.
Then we kept it rolling with a video package of MJF taking part in the Stand Up for Jewish Hate rally that took place earlier this week. He met with the owner of the New England Patriots that he met with? Oh,
yes.
Yeah, that very cool for MJF. Very.
He called him a mark. He's like, he's a mark for MJF.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Like, who isn't? And I'm glad to see MJF getting to share in causes that really mean something to him. But this was actually pretty standard. No, not a lot of gimmicks here. Just MJF doing something cool outside the ring.
Yeah, and this was nice to see. We don't get to see a lot of these, like, personal, like, real life person promos from MJF. So I think we kind of saw Max tonight in this one, which was really refreshing.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see more of that as the weeks go on and as we see more of this story here. But then we get to someone who knows MJF very well, Samoa Joe. He's on a collision course to find his hunger. He wants to be world champion, and he retained the ROH TV title by defeating Willie Mack tonight. Not much of a surprise to me. I don't like the overall direction of ROH because a lot of it takes place on AEW. I wish there was more separation. That being said, I always love seeing Samoa Joe kick some ass, and he did that tonight. What'd you think?
Yeah, I wrote down in my notes, the hits were hitting because everything just sounded so hard in this match. It was really great. This was the first match of the night to start off the show. So I think that the chemistry that they had really worked because they had a really good back and forth. But man, Joe is just something else. This man is so vicious in the ring. It's kind of scary, you know, but I love it. I'm here for it. This is what makes Joe dominant and so entertaining to watch that, you know, and he's just going to go be in the ring and kick ass, essentially.
You know, I really think that Samoa Joe is the embodiment of professional wrestling. And this match was about what you expected. It was big, meaty men slapping meat. And I'd never get enough of it, especially when Joe's doing it. But, you know, we go from big, meaty men slapping meat to somebody who's very familiar as CJ Perry pops up. And she's just watching, looking for new clients. She's hanging out with Lexi. They're having a good time. And actually Andretti shows up and he's just like, hey, I want to work with you. You know, like, if you didn't know, now you know, I'm Action Andretti. And he should not have said his name. He should not have, you know, gone up to CJ on camera. I think sometimes, guys, if the woman is married, at least don't do it in front of the live television camera. Because that didn't work out for him so well later in the night. And we'll get to it right here. Because Miro is in a vignette and he's already got Action Andretti's head in his hands. Like, I will destroy every man to protect the woman. This is the word of the Redeemer. And I guess my question for you, Aridian, as someone who loves the drama.
Yes.
Why isn't this married couple just talking it out privately?
Because that's not entertaining. That is not sports entertainment, Robert. And I'm glad that you brought up these promos because they were the best promos of the night. CJ Perry came out and said that she was going to take gold, make champs, and make stars. And Action Andretti putting his name in the list of contenders, I was like, okay, you know, very interesting. I didn't really think of Action Andretti as someone who CJ could be managing, but I don't hate it. I don't know if that's going to happen because Miro replied by literally kidnapping Action Andretti. And he was like, oh, CJ, she's just going to be consumed by chasing the gold, consumed by following the lights and the cameras. And there's not going to be anything left of her. So now I have to save her. And if I have to beat up everyone that she's thinking about representing in order to save her, then I'm going to do that. And that right there is what I want. I take my money. I am here for it. I need sequels. I need a separate reality show all about this. I am 1,000% here for it. But my question for you, Robert, is who do you see CJ Perry managing? I had maybe like Hook, but after seeing what happened to Action Andretti, maybe not Hook, right?
I think the best swerve would be a woman. Because, I mean, honestly, Miro is just so focused on the men and he's so consumed by being the only man in his wife's life. Maybe there's a dominant woman. There's a Layla Hirsch in Ring of Honor. There's somebody who can bring the gold in a way that Miro's not expecting, that doesn't necessarily take him off the hook either, because if we're following the continuity, Liv Morgan interrupted that wedding. We know that something can go on there. You know, I think that would be a great swerve. So I'd like to see a woman, and I'm going to go ahead and say Layla Hirsch, if she's ever called up from ROH or someone of that ilk, I think should be somebody that CJ Perry manages.
Yeah.
What about you? Who do you think CJ Perry should be managing?
I was thinking maybe Lance Archer. We haven't seen him in a little bit. Lance would be good. Also, Griff Garrison, who is Jack Perry adjacent, right? We're trying to separate them. Also, Jack Perry. I feel like there's just a lot of people who could possibly be used in this capacity. Maybe not so well on the mic because CJ's got that part down. So you don't need to be a good speaker. You just need to be a good fighter and possibly hook Lance Archer and Jack Perry. I think those would probably be three good options, but I didn't even think about CJ managing a woman. That's very, very interesting. So I don't know. I guess we'll just have to see what happens with this one.
So Griff Garrison is on Ring of Honor a lot, and he's currently Maria is scouting him. So there is something there. I like the idea of somebody talking for Jack Perry. I wish that would have happened in London. You know, so we carry on here, though, because we go from all this drama to the Bang Bang Gang, my favorite part of any show at this point, because these four guys are just obnoxious and amazing and perfect. We got Juice Robinson defeating the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels, and he has taken Adam Copeland's suggestion, and he is calling himself the Stray Bullet. And I want to put that out there first because that is a banging nickname. He defeats Danielson with the juices loose. Danielson, I don't think he's won. Daniels hasn't won anything since like early AEW in this promotion. So that is what it is. But I think the magic here happens after because Jay White gets down on one knee.
The proposal, Robert. The proposal.
It's so beautiful. He proposes to Juice. Juice says yes. He takes the ring and then he knocks out Daniels with it. It's a beautiful moment. I'm sure many, many individuals across the globe were jealous at that moment. But then Juice says, I don't need this ring. It was $24.99 at TJ Maxx. But he might want to take Maxwell Jacob Friedman's Dynamite Diamond ring by entering the Battle Royal this Wednesday on Dynamite. First of all, Ridian, how'd you feel when you saw the proposal?
Oh my God. As if I wasn't already on cloud nine because of CJ Perry's promo. And we got that little teaser for Danhausen that he's coming back. Also super excited about that. But man, the Jay White proposal, this was for the girlies. And I am 1,000% here for it. Also, I didn't have Juice being a Maxinista on my bingo card, but I don't hate it. He's like $24 TJ Maxx. I'm here for it. Somebody's going to cut that up and add that to the TJ Maxx commercial. I absolutely am here for it. And I know he is from Joliet, Illinois, but you can go ahead and say that he's from Chicago. Chicago claims Juice Robinson. We love Juice. So I give permission for next time he can say he's from Chicago. I'm here for it. I love the proposal. It was very, it was just so cute. It was so cute, Robert.
that's the brand. They do very cute, annoying bad guy things. And it really works as they're just trying to take everything away from Max. And I'm going to make a prediction here. I think this might be the year Max actually loses the diamond ring. I think he's losing everything close to him until he actually loses the Triple B. But I think he's going to lose the ring this year. And I think Juice is a damn fine contender because that is so good. And a nice way to bounce back from a segment that wasn't really received well on Wednesday with something really fun here tonight. Yeah. I enjoyed it at least. But speaking of the Dynamite Dozen Battle Royal, Dustin Rhodes cut a promo. He hasn't been in the ring since July for this company. And he cut a promo saying he's back and he wants the ring and then he wants the world title. Do you think Dustin Rhodes has a chance of winning this Battle Royal?
No. And I feel like there's yeah, it's not happening. I'm so sorry, Dustin. I absolutely love you, but it's not happening. I am excited to see him, you know, back in the ring and hopefully being featured more in AEW, especially because we have time and space now with Collision. And I think that Collision might be a good spot for him. Who knows? But yeah, I don't think that he's going to get that diamond ring. What are you thinking, Robert?
I think, honestly, it belongs to Bullet Club Gold. Yeah. But I love the passion that Dustin showed in this promo, because at 54 years old and with an iconic character like Goldust, Dustin could do a WWE run. He could do the convention circuit. He really doesn't need to be pouring his heart out on camera like this, and he's still showing that he is one of the best on the mic and when he needs to be in the ring. So it was cool to see Dustin get that spotlight. He will return in Houston. I know it's foolish to bet against a Rhodes in Texas, but I think Bullet Club Gold has the diamond ring held up to, it's for them.
Yeah. And you know what? It's interesting that you brought up that you think that Max is, that this is the year or this next couple months is where he's going to lose everything, because he technically already lost Adam Cole, right? So if the next thing would be that he loses that ring, well, then what's he got left? The championship. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yes. And guys, as Drew Nicholas points out in the chat, send us your Humper chats. We do enjoy a good Humper chat on a Saturday night. And, you know, now we're going to go from a wily veteran like Dustin Rhodes to Nick Wayne, who's just found out that he's got to do a sit down interview with Jim Ross and his mother. First of all,
he was very angry about that.
Yeah, I mean, he's not in contact with his mom. He doesn't, you know, answer text messages, I guess, after turning heel.
Yeah.
But very awkward for JR to be put in the Dr. Phil position of having to kind of mediate these familial issues.
Yeah.
I don't envy him at all. I am looking forward to this.
Yeah.
I imagine it's going to be very personal, very deep. What do you think is going to happen here?
I feel like it's giving very much Catch Me Outside vibes. So if you remember that Dr. Phil interview with that girl, what is it? Bad Baby or something. But that's what the energy that Nick Wayne is giving. So I fully expect this to be a hot mess. And I fully expect Christian to come out in a segment and like hit on Nick Wayne's mom at some point. So I'm excited for this.
It honestly, Dr. Phil did give us Bad Baby and the Catch Me Outside meme. I could see Nick Wayne doing that. I would like it if the entire time Nick Wayne's mom's phone is just going off because it's Christian Cage sending very, very inappropriate DMs.
Like the phone, yep.
Yeah, just constant buzzing, constant notification sounds. It is going to be weird. I do feel like it's maybe a little too much drama for AEW. Are we supposed to, do we get invested in Nick Wayne's mom now as a character? Like,
listen, if this becomes a storyline with Christian, I'm all about it. You know, I'm here for the soap opera-esque vibes that this would be giving. But very interesting that they're choosing to involve Nick Wayne's mom, because we've seen her a lot ringside. And she had a very, very strong reaction to Nick turning on Darby. So I don't know. I don't know where this is going.
I'm excited to see where this is going. And honestly, I'm excited for Nick Wayne in general, because he's only 18 years old. He just graduated high school like in June, and he's on TV with legends already. And what were you doing the month after you graduated from high school?
Honestly, I don't remember. Honestly, don't remember. But like, yeah, that's what I was thinking. We'll talk about this more once we get to the end of the show, but you can already say at 18 as a wrestler, you got speared by Edge, by Adam Copeland. Like, there's no way. And you're being mentored by Christian. He's already so many years above a lot of these veterans. So it's just insane.
The reality is Nick Wayne was never even alive when Edge and Christian were a tag team. By the time he was born, Christian Cage was well on his way to TNA wrestling. Like, that's how young he is. And that's the wisdom he's getting the chance to be surrounded by. And I'm excited to see what he ends up creating once he, you know, absorbs all this energy and wisdom around him. Because right now, you know, Nick Wayne, he's slightly green, but he is also very athletic.
Yeah.
And, you know, guys, if you need some athletic greens in your life, I think we got the deal for you.
AthleticGreens.com/Fightfulman. This is my go-to supplement, my go-to multivitamin, but it's so much more than a multivitamin. By the way, you want to be drinking your multivitamin. It absorbs a lot better. I take one scoop of AG1 from AthleticGreens.com/Fightful, put it in my 8 ounces of water, drink it down, and I'm good to go. I got a multivitamin that covers so much. Minerals, probiotics, that's why you never see me getting sick. You got your adaptogens, antioxidants, you've got a digestive enzyme. They all work together for a stronger foundation for your health. A free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 plus 5 free travel packs when you use athleticgreens.com/Fightful. By the way, it also helps recovery. So if you've had a tough workout, this athleticgreens.com/Fightful AG1 product is really going to help you out. They've got doctors, they've got endurance athletes, people with PhDs, the professor of genetics at Harvard Medical School, David Sinclair, putting this thing over. AthleticGreens.com/Fightful. That immunity support, that digestive support, that multivitamin, all at AthleticGreens.com/Fightful.
To anyone who's annoyed by that wonderfully seamless transition, that's what you get when I'm on the show.
Transition. It was all about his greens. And if you guys want to send your green over to us, make sure you send a Humper Chat, a Super Chat. Love to see it. Here we are.
We do love to see it. And we would love your comments on screen. So yeah, get those Humper Chats in. But then we go to another young man who has got a great future ahead of him, Kyle Fletcher. Mark Davis sadly got hurt at WrestleDream. So Kyle's on his own again. He defeats Boulder, who may or may not be an ass boy in his own world. But Kyle gets him in the Dragon Sleeper. Great win for him. If I'm honest, it was a solid win. I want to talk about the promo he cut after in a vignette. Because Iridian, we're getting Kyle Fletcher versus Kenny Omega. And what I dare say might be the TV match of the year, and this dude is already coming off a banger with Danielson from Collision a couple weeks ago.
You know, I, out of all the names that I thought he could have said, Kenny Omega was definitely not on my list. As soon as he mentioned Kenny's name, I gasped. I said, Kyle, it was nice to know you, because Kenny Omega, there's no one like Kenny Omega. And this is going to be just so, so good. Like the match that Kyle had tonight, it was great. You know, he showed off his strength and Nigel was hilarious on commentary. He literally just takes me out every single time he says something. But Kyle against Kenny Omega is going to be a banger. It's going to be so good.
Yeah, I'm seeing some comments here saying, you know, take my money. It's going to slap. Yeah, this is the kind of thing you want from your AEW, or at least I do. Where it's, you know, you have the best athletes in the world. Let's see them go bell to bell. Kyle Fletcher, if he can put on a banger with Omega right after one with Danielson, I think he's got a bright, bright future. And he might solidify a place in the Don Callis family. Because remember, there is that relationship there. Maybe he gets a win over Kenny Omega. Wheeler Yuta's got one. Why can't Kyle? These are the questions I have going into this. I'm looking forward to this match almost more than anything on Dynamite. Yeah. And I think it's going to be amazing.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be so, so good. And do I think Kyle's going to pick up a win against Kenny Omega? Who knows? That all depends on if Don Callis and the family come out. Because if Takeshita comes out, who knows? Literally anything can happen when it comes to Don Callis. And the hate that he has for Kenny Omega is literally so strong. I've never seen anything like it, that there is a possibility that Kyle could come out with the win next week.
I think there's a strong possibility. And, you know, good for Don Callis for just building this strong family around him. He's building this Last Supper painting, who I hope we get to see filled out completely with his new family. But speaking of family, the Acclaimed is sort of like your fun makeshift family. And they're a little worried about Max Caster, who's a little aggressive-y, stalky with Maxwell Jacob Friedman. And we've seen it online for months, if not years. But now it's coming to TV, and Billy and Anthony are like, you gotta stop. This is weird. They try to coach him through how to talk to people with Renee, and he ends up asking about her oral sessions, and it just doesn't go well. What did you think of poor Max Caster here, Iridian?
Poor Max. He is coming off too strong, you know, but I am all here for the Acclaimed with their dating tips with Daddy Ass. I think that's money. If that could be like a little segment of like how to date or how to, you know, find somebody, I think that would definitely work. But Max, you got to tone it down a little bit. And Anthony Bowens was like, all right, you know, we're just going to practice this and say the first thing that comes to your mind. And he's like, wait, never mind.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids. And he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger. Her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step by step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's backtrack and reel it in. Just think about something nice. And that's what he comes up with? Like the oral sessions? Please, sir.
I mean, he's a fan of her podcast. Yes, it's called The Sessions now, but she did openly. It started out as the oral sessions because, you know, you use your mouth to talk. And he was just asking about the progression of her podcast. I think Max is trying. He's trying very, very hard. And, you know, one thing you got to understand is he sees an opening here. MJF is vulnerable. His best friend is gone. He's gone through some heartbreak this year. He's seen it. He's like, oh, my God, maybe now is the time to shoot my shot. As we get a comment here from Kylie that brings up the fact that I am on the Collision Review. I am. And maybe I'll be on more of these. And I always appreciate Super Chats. Keep getting your Super Chats in. But I feel for Max Caster because I think we've all been there. We've all been, you know, we've all had that crush that maybe it's just a little too one-sided.
Yeah.
Thank God he's got the Acclaimed, the real event.
And you know what was interesting about this, besides the bad trying to flirt on Max's side, is that Daddy Ass was like, all right, Max, well, if that's important to you, or if helping out MJF is important to you, then it's important to us. Which I'm like, interesting, because you have Bullet Club Gold going after MJF. But now if he's backed up by the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass, that could be a little something, right? I feel like that just opens up just a bunch of new situations that could happen. And that's kind of cool.
There's a lot of daddy issues across the aisle there, because you've got the guns and Daddy Ass. Mm-hmm. You've got Max Caster, who may or may not call MJF daddy in his sleep. We don't know.
And then Daddy Magic shows up.
And then Daddy Magic shows up, because the daddy energy is radiating on this Saturday night, Iridian. And basically, Daddy Magic says, we're taking those trios titles from you in Memphis, Tennessee, the home of Elvis. And we later find out that it's not going to be on Collision, but it will be on the subsequent Battle of the Belts that'll follow Collision. So what do you think happens here? I got to be honest, I don't see the Acclaimed losing it. They have custom titles, but I do love me 2.0 and Daniel Garcia. So if they're going to go in that direction, I wouldn't mind that.
This is going to be one of the funniest matches ever, okay? This is just going to be so good. Daniel Garcia is going to get like a 15-minute dance time. Max Caster is probably going to have the longest rap yet. And it's just going to be nonstop fun. I am here for this match. Do I think that Daddy Ass and Cool Hand Edge are going to take the titles? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The belts are too beautiful to be painted back just to the original. There's just no way. Acclaimed has to say champions for like a year. They just got those titles.
Yeah, they did just get those titles. I do see they said 48 days. I think they've got at least another 48 in their system before they give up the belts.
Just 48? There's way more, Robert.
I think at least you got the 48 because there's a lot of great trios. There's the Hung Bucks. There's, Bullet Club Gold. There's a lot of great teams there, but this is going to be so much fun. Daddy Magic's going to be asking who wants a taste, and God knows how Max Caster is going to take that. I'm genuinely looking forward to what they pull off in Memphis.
That and the scissoring?
Scissoring, thrusting, tasting. There's a lot to be expected in this match, and it should be a lot of fun. But then we carry on with Collision as Chris Statlander defeats Sky Blue, a very different Sky Blue for the TBS Championship. And Sky Blue got misted by Julia Hart, and she's not taking it well. She's clearly becoming consumed by the power of the mist.
I have been waiting to talk about this, Robert. I've been talking about this probably for a week. And Miss Julia, she doesn't even know what she's done, right? So Sky's makeup has been dark these past couple times that we've seen her. And you can tell a lot by a woman's makeup, Robert. You could tell how she's feeling, what she's gone through, maybe something that happened in her day. But my theory is that Miss Julia is starting her own house, okay? The House of Heart. And Sky Blue is going to be the very first member that she's going to recruit based off of Sky's makeup. And commentary did kind of mention it a couple times, so that also made me really think that that's going somewhere, because not only will Sky Blue missed it, but also Willow's thrown into that mix too. So if Julia's starting her own faction while being in a faction, that's the ultimate cult-like stuff, and I am here for it. This could only mean good things.
It feels like a witch's coven. It feels like Heart's Hex Girls. I don't know if they go with that, or we've got Sky Blue, who's definitely taking effect. Yeah. Willow's got a little more positivity, and she seems to be fighting it off better. Yeah. But Sky Blue is just full-blown being absorbed by the mist. And I do think Julia knows what she's done. Mm-hmm. Because Julia knew she'd be taking some time off. So she said, I need to continue spreading the power here. And maybe the house always wins. Maybe Julia kind of takes over the house, and it becomes its own thing under Julia. I'm very much looking forward to this, but this match in general was a great match between two homegrown AEW women, and I love seeing them get that time on this show. Unfortunately for Sky Blue, Statlander does get the win with Saturday Night Fever. Statlander goes to shake her hand, and Sky doesn't go for it, and Willow comes down to try to tend to Sky because they're both going through this thing together, and Statlander didn't seem too pleased with that. What did you think of the match, and what do you think, where are we going next?
Yeah, man, Chris is just so amazing. I absolutely love her. She's so powerful. That blue thunderbomb is so fantastic. It's so good. But man, I think that this might be the best match that I have seen Sky Blue have so far. And just because she lost doesn't mean that she didn't look absolutely fantastic during this match. I think that this is a new side of Sky that we haven't seen. It's a little bit more aggressive, and I think it works because, like I said, I think this is the best match that I've seen her in. What did you think about Sky?
I thought Sky is, I think her progression in general has been phenomenal. And I think this next wrinkle to her character, where she can be more than just the bubbly pop punk girl from Chicago, I think she'll be able to tap into something really special. And if you watch AEW with RJ City, you know she's, as a child, burned a boy in a church. So this isn't necessarily out of her wheelhouse. And I want to see if they play with that fire, but figuratively and literally, a little bit as we build this new layer of the House of Black. But then we go from that to, we got a video package with Roosh and LFI. I liked this a lot because this is a great faction. Roosh is great. Andrade is great. I don't know. We haven't seen Andrade here. I would assume he's there because he is LFI. But what are you thinking of Roosh? What are you thinking of LFI now that they're back from their excursion to Mexico?
Finally, I've been waiting. It's been weeks, Señor Roosh. Like, I every week, I'm like, man, he needs to come back already. Especially when Andrade was getting beat up weekly. I'm like, sir, I know there's a faction backstage that can help you. And they had not been helping him. So I hope that they are really a prominent feature in Collision now that they brought up Roosh, because he was like, all right, if you're going to be part of LFI, you need to be badass. You need to be otherworldly. Like, it was so good. And I'm very, very excited because this could only mean that we're going to have banger matches coming up. Like, it's going to be so good.
Roosh is so good. I think Dralistico is so good. Preston Vance, I actually think he had a little bit more with the Dark Order, but I think there's a lot of meat on that bone still. And, you know, I'm really excited to see where this goes. And Jose, the assistant, and that is his birth name. I really think he's one of the underrated characters on the show. Yeah. But catching up with some super chats here, Ronald Hollick says, Julia Hart, Sky Blue, and Willow as AEW's The Craft. Ooh. Well, what do you think of that? The Craft?
Interesting. No, it has to be the what did I say? The House of
Heart.
Yeah, that's what it's got to be.
And then we got a super chat from the great podcast, Wrestling Wind Down. I know you know a lot about Wrestling Wind Down. You are featured quite often. And we also got a super chat here saying it's Princesses of the Black Throne. I don't hate Princesses of the Black Throne. I think there's something there. I think there's maybe a Maleficent vibe you go with here. I don't know. I can see it. I like where this is going. I like that we have storylines for women. I think women's wrestling across the board in wrestling, especially AEW, could be picked up quite a lot. So I'm glad to see, you know, this is happening. And Wrestling Line Out says, we're doing great. And Lo is always doing great herself. So thank you. But yeah, I'm very excited for LFI. I'm very excited for what that means for the faction wars, LFI BCC, LFI Elite. So, you know, there's a lot of meat on that bone. I want to see it happen.
Yeah, it's going to be so good. And once Penta and Ray and Pac get back together, that house is also going to be just so good. There's so many endless possibilities that this new faction being involved can only mean better things for.
That's right. That's right. Because the faction warfare is strong in AEW, and I think it's only going to continue to get stronger as we go on. And speaking of getting stronger as we go on, Keith Lee, poor Turbo Floyd. I'll say this, I might be the biggest Outrunners stan in wrestling, let alone wrestling media. I think these guys are tremendous. I think they have a ton of character, but character don't get you much of anything, because Keith Lee just hit Spirit Bomb, and that was about it for my boy Turbo Floyd. Turbo was on, but it was for the other guy, and I feel really, really bad for Turbo Floyd. What do you think about Keith Lee? Where's he going next?
I have no idea what we're going to do with Keith Lee, but actually this match lasted longer than I thought that it would. There was one point where I was like, oh man, we're still going here. Okay. And then that's when Keith Lee picked up the win, and I'm like, oh, that seems right. But
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Very interesting choice to just have Keith Lee come out and just have these really short matches. They were mentioning, who were they? They were mentioning someone on commentary. I forgot who it was, but I have literally no idea what they're going to keep doing with Keith Lee after this.
It was Shane Taylor Promotions was watching.
Yes.
So that's another one of those, like, in order to get that, you need to be watching more of ROH. Mm-hmm. And I think the separation would do some good just because, you know, they're, I don't know if there's enough of a crossover with the audience as they want it to be. But yeah, I do think Shane Taylor growing his group with Moriarty, with Lee Johnson, maybe, as we saw in the last episode of Ring of Honor, you know, Shane Taylor versus Keith Lee would be great. Or Keith Lee saying, all right, let's work together. And then that group coming into AEW, there is still a lot of meat on the bone. I am glad to see Keith Lee going, because I still think he's got so much to offer the business. The dude, one of the last clips we have of Vince McMahon saying anything positive on camera is of him saying to Keith Lee, look at what I've got here. And I think anyone who doesn't look at Keith Lee and see a star is missing the point. And hopefully he does continue climbing back up the ladder. Yeah. But we also had Tony Schiavone announced Sting's going to be on Dynamite. He's going to address the audience. What do you think Sting says?
Oh, man. Sting could say a lot of things. And it's really interesting that he's going to have his own little segment. He's going to address the AEW crowd. And last time we saw him, you know, he shook hands with Edge or Adam Copeland. So what's going on there? I literally have no idea. What do you think is going to happen?
I'm a little worried that we might be getting the beginning. I don't think he's going to retire right then and there, but I think we might be starting to set that in motion. I hope not, because Sting is amazing, and he did just, you know, unite with Adam Copeland and Darby Allin, and that's a lot of fun. Yeah. And I hope to see him say, you know what, Darby and I are undefeated as a tag team. That's what I would like to see for him to say, is Darby and I are undefeated as a tag team, and we're going for the tag team titles, but I'm fantasy booking, and I have a feeling his comments will be more along the lines of, hey, I'm realizing that I'm running out of energy and we need to finish this strong.
Yeah.
You know, but I love when Sting's on Dynamite. I hope Tony Schiavone interviews him just to say it's Sting. Tony Schiavone was on the call for this entire show. What do you think of that as opposed to the two-man team?
That was fun. I liked Tony's banter with the other two commentators. And it was just nice to have three, because I feel like sometimes with the two, it's like, okay, you know, you got Nigel and you got Kelly. So I don't know. We'll see. I hope that this keeps happening, that we get three people.
Yeah, and I will say, even though I know modern day JR takes some flack, I think this role where he just calls the main event of Collision is pretty perfect for him. And guys, we are going to get into that main event. So if you do want to send some super chats about Danielson versus Christian or anything AEW or anything Fightful related, I would suggest you get those in now. Because we get into this main event, and it's one of those things where if you sat down and told someone, yeah, like 5 years ago, neither one of these individuals were cleared to compete, and they're out there having this banger main event, Bryan Danielson, Christian Cage for the TNT Championship, easily my favorite match of the night, some great near falls. There was a moment where Christian hit a spear and an unprettier, and I really thought, a kill switch. And I really thought, my God, they're going to let him beat Danielson clean. Danielson kicks out. Danielson hits the psycho knee at like 9:59. And I'm like, oh, I think it's over. I think Danielson might be the champion. We don't get that. We get a nasty wrist lock body slam on the apron. You know, it's just a great match between two all-time pros. What did you think of this match before we get into the finish and all of the crazy stuff that happened after the match?
Yeah, I have very minimal notes on this match because this was one that I was like really watching and it was just so entertaining. I feel like if you saw this, you really couldn't take your eyes off of it because it was just so, so good. And man, it really didn't disappoint as the main event, because like I said in the beginning of the show, like the end of the show ended the same way that it began, as a complete, complete hot mess. But man, Christian with that spear, and Nigel on commentary was like, with the move that he made famous. I was like, what?
Which is so good, because Christian doing the spear is probably one of the most egregious things in all of wrestling, because he only does it because Edge retires and then it becomes a staple move of his. But, you know, Danielson, I really thought he had it with the Busaiko knee. But damn it, out comes, he gets him in the lapel lock. He can't complete it because the arm is too hurt. And out comes Big Bill to distract the ref. They weren't banned. You see, everybody else was. Big Bill and Ricky Starks were not. Big Bill distracts the ref. Ricky Starks comes in with like a drive-by title shot and just completely flatlines on the outside of the ring so nobody can even see that he was there. Christian gets the 1-2-3, and then out comes FTR, out comes Adam Copeland, out come Nick Wayne, Luchasaurus, all hell breaks loose. They left the baby in the ring to take the damage again. They left the poor boy. He is 18 years old. He wasn't even alive before Edge held the Money in the Bank briefcase. They left the baby in the ring basically to die already, and he took every finisher and he took a spear, and everybody's hot going into next week's Collision. What'd you think? What do you think we see out of this? Do we get an 8-man tag? I know Dynamite had, you know, some interactions with Mogul Embassy and BCC and these guys. Do we get just a 12-man? What do you think we're getting out of this? Because it's just crazy.
We're definitely going to get a tag match. And I feel like those titles are going to be on the line. It's probably going to be FTR versus Ricky and Big Bill versus Christian and either Luchasaurus or Nick Wayne and another tag team. Probably, I don't know, Edge, find somebody. Literally anything could happen. Probably with the securities will probably also be part of that tag match. It's going to be insane. And everything with Big Bill and Ricky happened so fast. I didn't even see when Ricky hit Danielson. I actually thought Ricky got hit because he like threw himself on the floor. Sir, this was so dramatic. It was so crazy. I loved it.
I mean, Ricky is the embodiment of smooth criminal. Like this dude flew in, smashed Danielson with the belt and just said, I'm out. I mean, I love me everybody that is here. I want to see more of this. I love that, honestly. I mean, for whatever you want to say about the Edge to, you know, CM Punk replacement, they really have slotted Adam Copeland in perfectly where CM Punk was, including with FTR and Sting and Darby. I think this has been great for me so far. I've enjoyed it. I know that, you know, everybody is kind of doing their own things, and it's a bit haywire right now, but I think Collision's finding its groove. I think Ricky's finding his groove, and I think it won't be long before we're talking about Ricky Starks as a singles champion. But before then, he's clearly got a couple of matches with guys like Adam Copeland and Bryan Danielson, who he's already had some banger matches with. I don't know. I love everything here. Genuinely, this is the kind of stuff I like. There's so many pieces of the puzzle at play, and I just can't wait to see what happens next.
Yeah, you mentioned Ricky Starks there, and this is something that we talk about every week on the Collision Post Show, is that Ricky Starks does not get enough praise. That, you know, he really should have been champion a couple times by now, you know, or he should have had a very prominent reign. But now that he is a tag team champion with Big Bill, I hope that we're in that direction for a singles run, because we have seen in the past that Ricky has said, hey, I haven't been getting these opportunities, and the opportunities that I have been getting, I've really been just really working hard and trying to go with it and making the best of any sad situation that I can. And Ricky Starks is a star. He is a staple of AEW, not just Collision, of AEW in general. So I would hope that now, as an Owen Hart tournament winner, he's the champion, and now as a tag team champion with Big Bill, that this only leads to an AEW championship run in the world.
I think at some point, even though they're allies right now, we will see Ricky Starks against Christian Cage for the TNT championship. We got Alexander Fitzgerald here saying Ricky Starks should be the international champion.
Ricky Starks can be all the champions, honestly.
Yeah, Ricky Starks for all the champions is a movement I can get behind. We got one here from Ronald Hollick that says, give me Young Bucks, FTR, Claudio Wheeler, and Ricky Starks and Big Bill and Fatal 4-Way Ladder Match. I mean, like, that speaks to my soul, personally. Like, I would love to see that, and I'd love to see Claudio and Wheeler get the win, quite frankly. Because I think Wheeler deserves more gold in general. I think Wheeler Yuta is underrated.
Absolutely. Robert, you and I are on the same page. Absolutely. Yuta also all the gold. BCC, all the gold. Ricky Starks, all the gold. Here for it. And Nigel on commentary.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Young Bucks do have the shot for Full Gear because they won the match at Wrestle Dream. But I think there's some other teams in here that deserve a shot, and BCC being one of them. I still want to see my Danielson Mox tag team. That's how BCC started. I still want to see some of that. You know, I really think that there's so much untapped potential here. But Big Bill and Ricky Starks being able to win their first gold together, like recognized gold, because Big Bill's never been champion before this, and Ricky Starks was FTW champion. Not fully recognized, but, you know, that is what it is. I like what Collision is doing, building new stars. And, you know, guys, I think that kind of wraps us up here. I've liked doing this. I know this was a bit of a shorter episode, but I'm really enjoying where Collision is. And Iridian, I enjoy seeing you all the time. So tell the people where they can find you. Tell them all about Rest Friends. Tell them about everything you're doing.
Yes, you guys can head over to YouTube where we have a lot of content on Rest Friends, and that's unboxings of Wheeler Yuta action figures. I'm currently making the AEW Trios tag title, the pink ones. So it's going to be so good. That's our next video that's coming out. And you can find me every Saturday here on the Collision post show on Fightful. So make sure that you follow me at @Iridian_Fiero on Twitter and TikTok, and you can find all of my stuff there. But Robert, where can our Fightful fam find you? I mean, of course, you know, here, but where else?
You find me everywhere at Dude Felice. That's Twitter, that's Instagram, that's Twitch. DudeFelice.com coming soon. That's not a joke. There's a website in the works. You could just find me everywhere. But most importantly, guys, follow the website. Follow Fightful. Follow Fightful Select. Yep. Follow what Sean's doing every week to bring you the most legit, up-to-date pro wrestling news. Mm-hmm. The best $5 a month, $54 a year. It really is some of the best stuff in all of wrestling media. Follow, you know, what Jeremy Lambert's got going on and everything we've got for you and the great team at Fightful. And I assume that I will not be back here next week as your regularly scheduled awesome team of Ricuccino, Cresta, and Iridian will be back here with a three-way breakdown. But I did enjoy being here. I enjoyed working with Iridian. And until next time, we're out.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.